The scripture reading today comes from Matthew 19, verses 16 through 24, and I am reading from the Common English Bible. Hear the word of God this morning. Now, Jesus is walking in the square, and a man approached him and said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" Well, Jesus said, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments." And the man said, "Which one?" And Jesus said, "Don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." The young man replied, "I've kept all these. What am I still missing?" And Jesus said, "If you want to be complete, go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away saddened, because he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciple, "I assure you, it will be very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it is easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter God's kingdom." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Before I begin, I would like to, I'm not being facetious now, not being ugly. I'm being very Liz. A prayer this morning from listening to you, a prayer for this church to be as passionate about serving God as what you demonstrated this morning. Thank you. That was a blessing, truly. So the title of my sermon this morning is, "What is your vision?" Okay, well, everybody has some thought, idea, dreams. But let's think about Jesus and what he said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And from Matthew 28:19, we hear what Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now let's fast forward to a period between 1957 and 1960, when a handful of people held services at Steed College. And somewhere in the 1960s, early 1960s, the first church building located on Susanna Street was built. In 1980, the first service was held in a new contemporary sanctuary. Is this not a beautiful sanctuary? It's a very warm, loving, inviting sanctuary. And from that point on until now, there have been additions and changes made to meet the need of the growing membership and the missions. I lifted this statement from the site found on one of the church websites. It says, and this is a statement about the new church, which is now Wesley. "The heart, sacrifice, and efforts of many have made Wesley what it is today." So we're here today, I believe, because of two small groups. One, over 2,000 years ago, and one that saw a need in 1957. They had dreams and goals for a church, a new church. Both demonstrated faith in God's plan for God's church. Both stepped out in faith, trusting that God was leading them to do things that he wanted them to do, leading him where he wanted them to be. You see, both of them were carrying out the Great Commission. That was God's vision. So, now, Ginger may be able to give a better definition than I from what vision is from the Bible, but in the Bible, a vision is defined as instruments of supernatural revelation, which includes dreams and trances. And I may add a little bit of my thought on that. It's an actual moment when something is seen or heard. If you recall in Isaiah, he hears and sees the majesty of God in very vivid color, very varied details. In the New Testament, Peter sees heaven opening up and a white sheet being let down to earth. It contains unclean food, and he hears God telling him to go and kill. Now, in an article that I was reading from pastors.com, which I think is associated with Rick Warren's church, the word vision is defined as this: a divine revelation of God's purpose and plan, which we can visualize and accomplish by taking steps to follow God to fulfillment, but specifically indicating that it is from God and for God. When we accept God's call to follow him, we begin a lifetime of vision. And by God's sanctifying grace, vision brings more than a change to our life. It transforms our hearts to see situations and people through a new set of lens. And Kathy, I'm not sure how you knew that I was going to use that word, but I think the altar is just beautiful this morning. And the glasses I would never have thought that. I guess it's just the way the Holy Spirit works. Yes. In Proverbs, we read this: where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy he will be. Without vision, we're going to be wandering and searching in the dark. We're going to be spinning like a top. Without vision, we will find nothing has changed. Instead, we keep doing the same thing over and over, getting the same results. We must know God's ways and follow his rules in order for us to see his vision revealed. Now, over the past 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, churches have been working hard to keep their doors open. Each church trying to continue the ministries and the mission, trying to motivate and inspire the congregations at all age levels, and trying to keep members engaged in worship and study. We've been fighting this invisible enemy called a pandemic, and it has brought more stress than we could ever imagine. Some stress, so much of the stress, that some churches had to disband. In her book, Rebecca Simon Peter writes, the book is called Forging a New Path. She writes that the church cannot go back to its normal way of doing business. And for me personally, I can agree with that not quite 100%. However, I do agree that the way we do church has changed And it's going to continue to change as we move into the future. Many churches, like us, are able to bring their services into the homes. Our services, meetings, and studies. But it's also been a great opportunity for visitors to watch and to listen. We invite you, those who are out in your homes or somewhere, we invite you to connect with the church from where you are watching. Now, this church was started because of a need to serve in new areas and new ways. And we're definitely seeing that to continue even into 2023. So how Wesley and the Churches of Holston Conference, as well as other denominations in our community and the world, will look in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, that's not for us to know. But what we must do is to believe that God is holding our future. So where does Wesley's vision begin? Well, in the fall, let me get my little piece of paper here. In the fall, Ginger distributed to the congregation this little prayer bookmark. Do you all still have your little prayer bookmark? It's entitled The Church That Prays Together. And it's that daily prayer focus for our church. And I hope that everyone is still using it. And for those who are watching, if you do not have one, if you'll just contact the church some way, and we'll be sure that you will get one. We also have a vision prayer team. And it has been formed with the focus on the future of this church. Because we believe that prayer is going to help us discern God's will. Jesus expects us to pray for our minister and staff, and for those who volunteer, for our missions and outreach, for our neighbors, and for ourselves. And with confidence, we pray for God's guidance and for this congregation to have the strength, the courage, and the faith to continue even when we feel like nothing's happening. From Colossians 4, we hear Paul say this. We need to be persistent by devoting ourselves to prayer and to be watchful in prayer. You see, persistence is an expression of faith. Prayer empowers us. It shows us God's love and how to love one another. It builds relationships with God and others. It helps us to step out of our comfort zone as a church or an individual. And it helps us to be obedient. The disciples were directed to pray and wait. Jesus did this for a reason. For one thing, he'd been with them for 3 years and he didn't see them listening and waiting. Sometimes they just went out on their own. But God's vision cannot be rushed. It's not an instant thing. We all have dreams and ideas and goals for the church. And sometimes we think that our ideas should have been put in place yesterday. But that's not the way it works. God will use our ideas if it is best for everyone and not just for one. As we go along in this, as we begin our visioning, I hope that there's going to be opportunities to share how God is speaking to each of us. Because listening to others while they share their goals, their dreams, it kind of sparks excitement about how God is working and how he will work. Sometimes we get a nudge to do something, and we should never ignore that, because that is a nudge from the Holy Spirit. saying, share it, tell it. Because someone else, an example this morning, Kathy, someone else may be receiving the same nudge. And that's just one way that the Holy Spirit works. Vision is a bridge that connects present and future. It's more than a connection from point A to point B. It leads to new opportunities to serve and to share God's love, to bring justice. But it also brings opportunities that we may not want to engage in. People and situations which make us uncomfortable. God may be calling us to move from our comfort zone. And we need to ask, who is my neighbor? So in today's scripture, the rich man asked Jesus how to get eternal life. What good things did he need to do? Jesus tells him to obey the commandments. Well, this young man needed more specific directions, so he asked, which commandments? And then Jesus adds that he must sell everything and give the money to the poor. Well, here is where we see the young man's true self. It's his weakness for his stuff, his wealth. We see a lack of faith and a lack of obedience. See, he loved his wealth, and he was not about to give it up. God intends for us to be good stewards of our resources. We must be responsible for our own needs and the needs of our family so that we don't become burdens on others. But we should be willing to give up something if God asks us to do so. Following God's plan may mean letting go of the old to embrace the new. Sacrifices will be made. It will not be easy, and at times it will be hurtful. So a question for us to ponder over these next weeks and months is this. As a congregation and in our personal lives, what are we willing to give up to realize God's vision for Wesley Memorial United Methodist Church? The challenges will come from within and outside the church and from the community and the world. And there will be differences of opinions. And we will even struggle with our own beliefs and our own feelings. Is our faith strong enough to accept his will? Faith is resting in what Christ has done for us in the past, but it's also mean trusting him for what he will do for us in the present and the future. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are the body of Christ. We carry a special spiritual gift in our hearts given to us by the Holy Spirit at our salvation. Sharing our gifts and talents within the church leads to how we share Christian love, kindness, and generosity outside the church. Working and praying together builds Christian unity, and we become stronger in our faith and actions, and we begin to realize God's purpose and vision for us. The Holy Spirit wants us to act in love toward one another, even when my goal and vision does not agree or look like your goal and vision. Let's stay reminded and hold on to this fact that it's God's vision. It's not ours. Now, on February the 12th, 2022, which has been a year ago, or almost a year ago, the leaders and church members spent a day discussing the future of this church. And many of you all were there. We talked about how God's vision would look for us. Individuals wrote down answers to three questions about their ideas and dreams and goals for Wesley. And then they were shared. And we prayed for God's guidance as we move through the year 2022. Each time the leadership met, there would be discussion about God's vision. And in the fall, we felt it was time to seek God's vision for the church. We prayed and we waited. And God called us to this time, His own time. And by God's grace, we are being called to continue carrying out that great commission to new places in new ways. Now, on Saturday and Sunday of next week, the leadership team will meet and begin the visioning process. And perhaps some of you all have been asked to share your thoughts and feelings about how you feel about Wesley's future. But we're also being asked, what will we be asked to do? And how will we respond? We all have a part in the future of this church. Of course, we don't know how it looks. The only one who knows is God. The builders of this church and the founding members of this church were people of faith. We are people of faith, and it's time to put our faith into action. Now, we're going to expect wow moments, extraordinary experiences, new ministries, people coming to Christ for the first time, celebrations, and times of praise and thanksgiving, and so much more, all with passion. But we also are going to experience those down and perhaps dark moments when we just seem to be wandering and spinning. But we're reminded in Psalm 119, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We are praying and waiting for God to reveal a God-sized vision greater than we can imagine or dream. We are praying to be transformed into a new creation. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time in the life of Wesley Memorial. We are ready and willing to serve where you lead, loving and understanding those in need, and being Christ-like to all. Lead us by your light as we journey on this path into the future that you hold for us. Amen.